Welcome back to another episode of Afternoon Delight. Happy Monday, everybody. It's Kyle Rush, Ben Taylor. And you know what, dude? This weekend sucked. This year for Auburn sports has sucked, and it got compounded this weekend. Doesn't have to be the story of the baseball season. Like, it doesn't have to close the book on the story that they're writing right now, but obviously, you lose to Alabama in the fashion you lost to them, which sucks. You fumble on the last drive to go try to tie the game. Another clutch situation completely, slips through your fingers. Pun totally intended.
Yeah.
Basketball, you lose both. Lose at home.
There. Yeah.
Yeah, that was tough. And then, yeah, I think in the one at home, you had a pretty good lead that you blew. And then the bats go silent and you get swept on the road against Alabama. Yes, you've won the last two series prior, but it doesn't help. Like, what happened? It doesn't help, and it just makes it to where maybe there's some tough questions that have to be asked. But and I don't really want to. I don't really know exactly what direction to go in this, but I want to get your thoughts on it overall, and then I may have some questions. I'm gonna look inward. Too. So okay. I want to get your thoughts on everything.
Well, the way you put it, because we talked about doing this prior, and I didn't know we were going to go down the road of football and
yeah
basketball and now into baseball.
0-6.
And so yeah, it stings. I think this past weekend is probably, I don't know, recency bias. Maybe because yeah. I think the baseball team, everybody's wanting to fire Cohen, wanting all kinds of changes to come with baseball team. And I'm like, listen, you lost to the number four team in the country, and then you lost to a top 10 team in the country. And honestly, it was the bats. And that's frustrating because you saw what they did against South Alabama, did the same thing against Georgia Tech, who was a top five team in the country the week before. Now, people will go and say, well, they pitched their middle relievers because it was a weekday game and all that kind of jazz. But we pitched our middle relievers, too, and we still hit the ball well. So, it is definitely worth asking the question because there are those out there that judge the success of Auburn on how well they play Alabama, regardless of sport. Now, if it makes you feel better, the tennis team did beat Alabama this weekend.
There you go.
So
suck it.
Yeah.
Suck it, Alabama.
So now that, and the men's golf team won. They won as well this weekend. So they did.
There
well.
You go. So still got some success there. Yeah. I think that's a good direction to go because I want to make sure that I am very clear when I say this. I am in no way saying that I'm better than anyone else.
Right.
Okay. I'm in no way saying my thought process is correct. Okay. I'm just asking the question. I'm putting it out there. Am I part of the problem? Because I just don't, and I don't think it's only me. I think it's a lot of the way that college sports are now with the transient guys coming in and out all the time. And just as time goes on, like, I don't care that much about losing now. Like, I don't care that much about the rivalry anymore.
Oh.
And I don't really know why. I don't really know if I can pinpoint why, but like, the success of this baseball team to me is what they do in the postseason. The success of basketball to me is what they do in the postseason. I'll give you a very good example. How did you feel last year when Auburn lost to Alabama after they had already clinched the SEC regular season? How did that make you feel when you lost at home? How did that make you feel?
In the moment, it sucked, but the next day I was totally over it. I guess it was the fashion that it took place and the last second thing. And you know, we still live in a state that the Bama fans are going to, you know, all of a sudden I start getting text messaging and DMs and stuff like that. But for the most part, no, last year my focus was after Auburn had clinched and they lost to Alabama, I didn't even really care about the SEC tournament. I was all about, hey, let's make sure we're ready and get everything like in order for the NCAA tournament. And I'm that way this year with baseball. It sucked losing 3 in a row to Alabama. But you just mentioned get to postseason. The ultimate goal here is to host a regional and a super regional.
Yeah.
And
at worst, host a regional. Like that. That's at worst. Yeah.
Did it make the road, you know, tougher because you got to win X amount of games or you got to finish X in the standings?
Yeah, you got to go to Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
And then
you got to play Arkansas at home.
Right.
And they're I know they just got swept by Florida, but they were number 4, you know, in the country at that point in time. So it's not like it gets any easier. So yeah, I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm wondering if there's more people. I'm wondering if my view is the prevailing, starting to become like the more, I don't know. I don't really know.
Your view. Okay. So
is it part of the problem? Is my view part of the problem? Or is it just the emphasis is just not there? Because I'm going to be honest, I don't think Alabama cares that much either.
I know they don't. They don't except for about 24 hours after when I get all the flooding of it. And then I don't really hear a whole lot after that. And I think your view for everybody that's under the age of 40 is heading in that direction. And it's set up to head in that direction. Because even in football, Kyle, we could have a good season, lose to Alabama, and still make the playoffs. You can still be in the top 12. I mean, so it's one of those things where you hear the Bama fans where they say the Iron Bowl doesn't count. Apparently it counts when they win, but when they don't win and they still make the playoffs like they've done in the past, they don't care. And so, I think that the 40 below crowd is probably in that same boat, even though that's not you. You're not in the 40 below crowd.
I'm 40 and below.
Yeah, you're 40 and below crowd. You're not the below 40 crowd. But I've got buddies that their life hinges on beating Alabama and Georgia. And if we don't, like, no kidding, we could lose. We could have a losing season in football. If we beat Bama and Georgia, they got a ray of shining light coming out of them. And it's like, but the big picture is we're sitting at home, not in the, you know, in a bowl game in the playoffs, even though we won against our rival, but they don't care. And especially my dad's crowd.
Yeah.
It is beat Bama and his crowd that are Bama fans are beat Auburn. And I think that is starting to change a little bit. And I'm kind of in the middle.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that –
I think I'm in the middle too. I'm way more in the middle than I am on the – I don't care. Like, obviously it bothers me, but like I'm probably in the middle. I'm probably more on the I don't care that much anymore, but it still bothers me some. Like, I'm not saying there's like nothing. But like, for example, in 2017, Auburn wins the Iron Bowl and then Alabama wins the national championship. Like, I would take that every year.
Yeah.
I would take if we lost Alabama every year but won the national championship every year, I would not be more excited as a Auburn fan.
And like, it would mean and that goes and I've said that in the basketball realm where people talked about us getting swept this past year. One of my Bama buddies and me, two of my Bama buddies and two of my Auburn buddies or Auburn buddy. Four of us all getting together and we're having a couple of beers and they were bragging about sweeping Auburn in basketball. And I'm like, if Auburn picks up two more wins in the month of February and they make the tournament and they get to the Elite Eight or Final Four, I don't care.
No.
Swept us. I mean, it's big picture is we had a more successful season. We had an opportunity to possibly play for a championship, even if it were cut short in the Elite Eight or cut short in the Final Four, as opposed to worrying about a random Saturday game that y'all are still living off of and being eliminated, you know, outside the Sweet 16 or whatever. So we had that conversation. Now, in the moment, though, did I care? Oh, you darn right. Like, it pisses me off when we lose and it's, you know, this weekend, you know, watching the games and listening to the games. I'm like, dadgummit, you know, can't get the bats going, like I'm mad. But then I can promise you this, if we're hosting a super regional at Plainsman Park, I ain't going to look back at this Alabama series and go, what if?
I think that's where I'm at for the most part. Like I saw a lot of people that are talking about, and I'm not, again, I'm not saying they're wrong. Okay. I totally get this mindset. Daryl Daprich is kind of like on this, you know, wavelength. As far as John Cohen goes, you know what? I take that back. It wasn't necessarily about losing to Alabama. It was more about like, if we don't make the tournament next year and if Alex Golish, I want to correct that. He did not say anything about necessarily if you lose to Alabama again, Cohen should be fired and blah, 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 blah. He was like, you got to have start talking about that if we miss the tournament next year again and if, you know, Golish has a really bad first season record. But there's a lot of folks that are like, you go 0-6 against Alabama, like your athletic department is in the tank, like we should fire Cohen. And I'm like, okay, like I can entertain that conversation, but like you did go to a Final Four last year.
You did.
Host a super regional last year.
Yep.
Football is in the wilderness. Like they'll figure there. That is what it is. I don't know that that's necessarily on anybody other than just making bad decisions and, you know, compounding those bad decisions. I feel like the athletic department is in a pretty good spot to take the next step. Baseball's doing, you know, they were a top five program going into this weekend. Like, I don't think necessarily losing to Alabama, getting swept by Alabama, has to change any of that.
No, I just saw the rankings and tentatively, and, you know, we dropped to 11. So we dropped out of the top five, you know, in one of the polls. Baseball's got like four different polls, but in one of the polls, we dropped to 11. We're going to be a top 15 team. You're still going to, as you said, you got Georgia Tech this week, you got Arkansas. You take the series from Arkansas, even if you play Georgia Tech close, yes, the wins matter, but if Auburn goes out and lays out 15 hits and puts up seven runs and loses, I think the mood is a whole lot different than what it is the way this past weekend Auburn lost to Alabama. But I'm with you on the Cohen, and I'm not like a pro Cohen guy.
Yeah.
But honestly, it's kind of like what we've talked about with Stephen Pearl being handed to Hod, and that's it. And everybody's demanding Final Four return. And it's like, okay, Cohen got handed Alan Green's mess up. And that is not an overnight fix, in my opinion. And I know people go, well, with the portal these days, you can't. Yeah, but you still got to have the right leadership. And people make bad calls. And honestly, when it came down, you look back at the Hugh call. It came down, it was Hugh, it was Kiffin, and there were all these people that were saying, I just do not want Kiffin. There's a lot of drama that comes with it. Well, you got what you wanted, and it didn't pan out for you.
Do you think Cohen autonomously made the decision to go with Hugh Freeze?
No.
Do you think he was influenced, slash maybe coerced to go with Hugh Freeze?
I don't want to say coerced, but I think there was some influential people and bodies of groups that will say things in a room that those four walls will never talk. But
Do you think that Cohen?
I don't think he had an emotional tie to Hugh. So I don't think he was like, I got to have Hugh. I do not think that. No.
Okay. Do you think that he wanted to go with Steven?
No.
So again, that I'm not saying that either one of those. I wanted Hugh Freeze. Like I'm not trying to act like I'm a genius. You know, I was probably
I wanted Hugh Freeze over Lane Kiffin.
My whole theory with Hugh was this. There's been like factions of like Auburn boosters like that want one guy and this one guy wants the other. Well, if I don't get my guy, if you're not going to go on my guy, I'm taking my money and running, or I'm, you know, and there was always people pulling in different directions. So I was like, you know what? Give them whatever they want. Give them whatever they want. And it's going to work out in one of two ways. It's either going to be awesome, you know, and then we could say, okay, y'all were right the whole time. You guys, you know, get what you get from now on, or it's going to crash and burn. And then you may have to actually look in the mirror. Well, we got everything that we asked for and it crashed and burned. Maybe we don't know what the hell we're talking about, kind of thing. And, you know, so I was, you know, I liked Hugh Freeze, and that's kind of the way I looked at it. Like, let's do something this way and see what happens. And then, you know, I still think Steven can be a good coach, but I don't think that was necessarily Cohen's first choice. So I say, and then Butch has been here. He was here before him, and he's been here after. And Auburn's had success in baseball, have had some ups and downs, which I think most are going to have in this era of sports. So I say all that to say, like, it's hard for me to really – like, what does the athletic director do? Like, if he didn't make those, they hire coaches, and I don't think he was able to hire either of his top choices in either sport. Okay, yeah. So do you put that in his lap? Do you put that in his lap? Do you put that in his lap?
Yeah, I do, and the reason being is because, you know, I always say athletic directors, you get two hires, major hires, whether it be football, whether it be football and bat, combination of whatever, and he's gotten his two, and Freeze didn't work out. Yeah, but that's the thing. He's got to have that conversation in that four-walled room that we were just talking about that we don't know about, where he goes, look, I understand what all y'all are saying.
Let's have our conversation. Screw that wall. You and I. Has he gotten a chance to hire his two guys?
I don't think he has, but I think he owns part of that. He's got to stand up to him and go,
hey, he's going to wear it, but is it fair? Is that criticism fair?
Yes and no. I mean, because he's got to – yeah, because he's got to say to the boosters of the world that are having that conversation with him, I get two hires, okay? And I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, I know for a fact Bruce Pearl is going to be asking me to hire his son, whether it's this year, next year, or the year after. So now I've got one hire to see if I make it or not. Because we knew the Stephen Pearl thing. I mean, that was like the worst kept secret ever. Like, everybody that acts shocked, I've said before on this pod with you that this was the plan, whether it was now or if it was 2027 or 2028.
Yeah.
I think that conversation was had. I just think that it got moved up because what you and I discussed, where sitting in that room, Bruce said, this is the plan. And they were like, I don't know if we want to do that. So he dipped, and they kind of got stuck right there before the season and had to make that hire. So I give him a pass on the Stephen Pearl hire. I don't give him a pass on the Hugh Freeze hire. I mean, because I think that there were just as many people that were willing to throw money at Lane as there were bringing Freeze. I don't know if it was evenly split, but I do know that talk was out there amongst the money goers. Like, they were good with either. So I think he would have, you know, what'd he do? Did he avoid pissing off the most influential boosters? Is that why he went that way? Or did he see something we didn't? So he doesn't have to harness the Steven one, because I think he was put in a bad spot. I think he's got to help. I think he's got to harness the Hugh Freeze one.
Yeah, we'll have to just agree to disagree there, because I think he did everything he could to help Hugh. I don't think he wanted to hire him, and I think he did literally everything he possibly could, from money, from staff, everything he could possibly do to give Hugh all the tools to succeed.
Oh, once he got him in, I feel like I feel like he was bought in once he got him in.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I think he had a choice. I don't think it was a draw a line in the sand, hire Hugh or else. I think he still had a choice. Now, when he got him here, and I think he'd have done the same thing if Lane would have come here. I think he would have done everything in his power to try to make him successful. He's doing that with the programs now. I mean, he gave raises to Stephen's assistants to try to keep them from leaving.
Yeah.
And he's doing the same thing.
Players too.
He's doing the same thing with Butch and his staff. So if there's one thing I'll give Cohen, when he gets them in, he's bought in. He wants to keep. He knows they need. It's a direct reflection on him. He needs them to be successful, and he needs them to have the tools it's going to take to be successful. And for some reason, that just has not worked out, and it's not working out against some of the people that Auburn fans hate, the Bamas of the world, the Georgias of the world, and that's a black eye, man. I mean, it is, especially for the 50-plus crowd. I think we're both, like you said, you're kind of in the middle. I'm kind of in the middle. I think that fringe, that 38 to 52 crowd is kind of fringe, where bigger picture, if we make it to a Final Four, if we make it to the playoffs in football, if we make regionals and super regionals, we're fine regardless of the results of the regular season. But that 50-plus crowd and that, it, you know, they're all about this can't happen. You know, the losing to Bama can't happen. The losing to Georgia can't happen. Honestly, some of them in the old school, losing to anybody can't happen because they've got that Pat Dye mentality of we ain't scared of anybody. We'll lace them up with anybody and we'll play anybody and we'll beat anybody's rear end. And in today's world, that's not reality.
I asked this question to Dap. I want to get your thoughts on it. Number one, do you feel like I think you've already said this, but it does feel like the importance from the player standpoint, and I would say across the board, like across college sports in general, like rivalries probably, some are still pretty big, but like rivalries have lost a lot of their luster because you don't have a lot of 3-4 year guys, yeah, you know, from the state that been in the game, played the game multiple times. And would you agree that that's probably lost it? Rivalries from a player standpoint have lost its luster just a tad since the portal and NIL and all that stuff.
Oh yeah, and I think it's going to continue going that way unless they change the rules.
So
you know, if we get to that, what you and I talked about, the Tommy Turville thing, where it's 5 years and one transfer, I think the rivalries are there. But now, Aiden Holloway went to Alabama.
Yeah,
that never happened in 1997.
Right.
That was never going to happen. Like, even having to sit out a year back then, that ain't never happening.
Yeah. Cool. I thought it was a big deal that Corey Grant came, but he, I mean, yes, even though he's from Opelika.
Yes.
That was kind of a big deal. You know, he sat out a year and everything. So, with that being said, we agree that maybe from a player standpoint, rivalries have lost their luster a little bit. Do you think Auburn maybe benefited more than maybe when it was in its prime from a player standpoint? Do you think Auburn benefited more in the rivalries being like it? Like that's the game you want to play in. Do you think Auburn benefited more than other schools? Because I feel like that may,
like, what do you mean by benefited more?
So like the chip on your shoulder, the hate, the feeling belittled, the playing as an underdog. Like, do you feel like Auburn maybe benefited a little bit more than, you know, like Georgia hating us or Alabama hating us? Do you feel like the rivalry at its peak, in my opinion, was better for Auburn than it was for Alabama? Better for Auburn more so than it was Georgia? Because there was just I feel like Auburn just had an extra gear. You know, an extra gear of hate, an extra gear of this. Didn't necessarily equate to championships, you know, but it equated to being able to win those games.
Mm-hmm.
And now as rivalries sort of diminish from a player standpoint, again, I'm just talking about the players, as far as importance goes, it feels like it's affecting Auburn a lot more than it would other teams. Do you get what I'm saying?
No, that's fair to say. And I also Kyle, I got to be honest, this goes back to a whole nother conversation and probably a whole nother pod that you know, we've done this before. We've done this exercise before. You know, bringing the Golishes of the world in,
mm-hmm.
he's got no Auburn-Alabama rivalry tie. I mean, if anything, he understands it because of his days at Ohio State and the Ohio State-Michigan thing. I mean, he gets it. But he doesn't have two uncles that are willing to shoot each other in the backyard over, you know, one pulling for Auburn, one pulling for Alabama. And I think the same thing goes back to when we hired Hugh. Same thing goes back to when we hired Harsin. I mean, if you haven't grown up and lived it and loved it, now that's part of the problem too. When it gets ready to hire somebody, you know, everybody says you got to hire from the tree. You got to hire from the, you know, from the branch and get somebody that's an Auburn guy, get an Auburn man and get an Auburn woman, you
or
know,
fit an Auburn fit that fits Auburn, with Auburn,
Auburn fit, basically an underdog fit, a person, a coach that probably wasn't given a chance. We're going to give it to them. They're going to prove themselves here. And I think that probably has been part of the issue. And I mean, people forget. I mean, Saban was LSU, I mean, Michigan State, but when Alabama got Saban, he knew the rivalry, but because he knew the SEC, but he had to learn to hate Auburn whenever he got here, whenever he got to Tuscaloosa. Yeah. Now he was there so long, it became easy to hate him. It became easy to hate the way Gus Malzahn pulled one over on him. Like you said, Auburn getting the better of it, you know, taking a number one team and beating them or something of that nature. But, yeah, I'm in that camp with you where I definitely think Auburn has been the benefactor as far as being able to stir up that hate, that extra gear, that little extra umph in order to, you know, get a kick six or something of that nature that, you know, you just don't see everywhere else except in that quote unquote rivalry. But again, I go back to what you just said about the younger generation. I think they want to be successful. I think they want to grow their career. I think they want to make it to the NFL, the NBA, or Major League Baseball. And yep, got swept by Alabama. But if I go out and go 4-for-5 against Georgia Tech and I have a weekend series where I bat 500 against Arkansas next weekend, I don't really care about Alabama. And especially if we make it to regionals and super regionals, that series means absolutely nothing to me. And that's the mindset of the player, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I think it's headed that way at football because of the extended playoffs.
Yeah. Do you think you can ever get that? Do you think that'll ever come back? Do you think that'll ever come back where –
I think it takes what I just said to you earlier. If this thing goes through, or if the NCAA makes the rule change, or if it's you know, a federal legislation or whatever it may be, if you do the Tommy Tuberville thing where you get a 5-1, 5 years and one transfer, yeah, I think it comes back because I think it gets down to that. Hey, I've been here for 4 years now and I hadn't beaten somebody. This is pissing me off. I'm ready to, you know, I say, yeah, I think it gets back to that. But right now, where it's war of the highest bidder, where the Aiden Holloways of the world can be playing for Bruce 1 minute and a week later be sitting in a Tuscaloosa gym. No, I don't know that age group really cares.
You think Cam Coleman cares that he fumbled in the Iron Bowl?
No.
Not a bit.
No.
You know, so yeah.
I mean, because he jumped ship so quickly. I mean, he went to the highest bidder. Everybody talks about him having a chance to succeed at Texas. I'm like, if Michigan would have paid him more money, he'd have gone there. I mean, that wasn't and he's from right down the road, and that wasn't that big of a deal to him. He was fine to leave.
Yeah.
So
no, that's kind of what I'm saying. That's kind of what I'm saying. Like, I just don't know. I don't know how you get that back. And maybe it's just, you know, it could be that, you know, I feel like Auburn fans in general, you pretty much got to have some kind of connection to the school before you're a fan. And maybe those numbers are just not as high as we'd like it to be. Like, maybe there aren't as much as there's many kids growing up being Auburn fans because you haven't really had much success.
That's got a lot to do with it. That age group that's in there now, think about the last.
I mean, 2013 is the last time you
Yeah,
won an SEC championship. That's 13 years ago.
Yeah.
So there's no like, there's no like, there's not many like 7 and 8 year olds that are seeing.
Correct.
Okay, let's do this math. If you were 8 in 2013, that means you're 24 now.
Yeah.
No, you're 21 now.
Yeah.
So like, there's not that many kids, like when you start loving sports, saw Auburn be good.
Yeah.
And it fired them up. So when they want to go to when they're about college age time, you know, it's all Auburn. You get what I'm saying? Like Donovan Moore is a unicorn. The kid from Hueytown, he's an Auburn kid, Auburn family, Auburn fan, and he just so happens to be the number one player in the state. You know what I mean? So, and he commits to Auburn. Like that is pretty rare.
It totally is.
It's been a while since those ages when you fall in love with Auburn, like you start really watching Auburn sports. They haven't won anything. Haven't really won much other than basketball.
I mean, there's some on the team that are like that, because some of them are on the team that are like your son, Bub.
Yeah,
he knows Auburn. If he grows up and becomes a super freak athlete, his first choice is going to be to look at Auburn.
Yeah, but what if I was an insurance salesman in Fairhope?
Exactly.
And I didn't live in Auburn and didn't do an Auburn podcast and love Auburn and all we talk about is Auburn. Like, what if I was just a casual insurance salesman in Fairhope? And if you're an insurance salesman, my dad's an insurance salesman in Fairhope. That's why I said that. But like, what if you're that and it's just casual and like you haven't seen Auburn win anything? Like, do you care that much?
No, I don't think they do. I think that because people forget, when you read the message boards and you read Twitter and people are passionate about it, it's a very small percentage of society.
It is. I mean,
in the grand scheme of things. And so you're right. I think that I always call it the big box store test. Go to a Walmart in Florence, Alabama, and ask them, when's the last time Auburn beat Alabama? And see what they say. They probably don't know. But if you ask any of the message board people or any of the Twitter folks or social media or anything of that nature, they're going to be able to tell you.
Yeah.
Because they're passionate about it. But they ain't all producing D1 athletes that are going to have that same passion that they have. So, yeah, I think this younger generation is just – it's different, man. And who knows if that changes. As I said, if you
– got to win.
If you win – the passion will come back. But and that's not just beating Alabama. That's winning, period. That's, you know, you, as I said, you win 9 games, you go into the Bama game and you lose it and it knocks you out of the playoffs, then that Bama game is huge. You win 10 games in the season, go in the Bama game and you lose it and you still make the playoffs, how many people really care about that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
it's good stuff. I think I'd love to know y'all's thoughts, and I don't even really know the question to ask to get your thoughts. But overall, I guess, where are you on the rivalry? Or do you think our points are way off? And what's Auburn got to do? What's Auburn got to do to get it back?
The question is the rivalry what it was? And
how do you get it back?
Or
is it even desirable to get it back?
That's a
question.
From a winning standpoint, yes.
Got it. Good deal. Guys, appreciate you listening. We'll be back again tomorrow. War Eagle.
War Damn Eagle.